Number five, listen and show love. There may not be an exact verse for Jesus listening to someone, but we can see that all throughout Scripture. He isn't one to interrupt, but is one that listens intently on the heart expressed through words. It says in Luke 8:16 to 18, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him." And in James 1:19 to 20, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." The scriptures are pretty clear. We need to be quick to listen and not to speak. We also need to stop and think about how we're listening to others. Are you listening to respond, or are you listening to understand? A lot of the time, people just simply want someone to listen to them so they feel heard. Take the time to listen, and I'm sure the other person will not only appreciate it, but will be more open to hear whatever it is that you have to say. It tells us in John 3:16 to 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus showed love to the point of being willing to die for humanity so we could all be saved. If that's not showing love, then I don't know what is. It tells us in the first part of 1 Corinthians 13 that if we don't have love behind what we do, then it profits us nothing. And it also says in John 13:34 to 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, I'm not saying you have to pat the person on the back, tell them everything's okay, and agree with every single thing that they say. Sometimes love can be shown through correction, like it tells us in Hebrews 12:5 to 7. If you think about it, Jesus was showing love in a crazy way when he threw the tables in the temple. Now hear me out. He was showing love in respect to his heavenly Father, while also out of love for the people, corrected the error of their way. Now, I'm not saying you should throw some tables around. That's a bit extreme, okay? However, maybe this next point can help bring some clarity. Point six, feel the convo, or as I like to say, go with the flow. Sometimes life happens and it hits you out of nowhere. There are times where you gotta ride the waves of life and see where they take you. A perfect example of this is in John 2, 1-11, which tells us, "On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Whatever he says to you, do it.' Now there were set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, 'Fill the water pots with water.' And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, 'Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast.' And they took it. When the master of the feast had tested the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, 'Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now.' The beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." So here we see Jesus said that it wasn't his time. Yet because of the crisis situation and the pleas of his mother, he went with the flow and helped the people out. I also think of Jeff Troy, how one day he came home feeling sick and a neighbor called him for help. He didn't feel like it, but he went anyways and helped his neighbor. And because of Jeff's willingness to go with the flow, his neighbor got saved that day and his life was forever changed. Think about the person you're conversing with. You're not going to be talking about politics to someone who isn't interested in that, or talk about movies to someone who would rather be diving into a book. If the person you're talking to seems closed off to what you have to say, then take the hint, leave them be, and try again another time. The Lord has many instruments and tools he can use to get a hold of someone's heart. If you feel like you didn't get everything out you wanted to, Jesus understands that feeling in John 16, 6 and 12. If you have their number, send them a message about what else you wanted to say, or schedule another day to meet up and carry on the conversation. If you're afraid or unsure about what to say, it tells us in Matthew 10, 19 to 20, "But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So act natural, be yourself, and see where the conversation or life itself takes you." Number 7, share your testimony salvation story. As touched on in the last point, we need to be relatable to the people we're talking to. Jesus knew the importance of this, which is why we see so many of his parables and stories in the Bible. He got down to their level and spoke their language, if you will. He communicated to the people in a way they would understand, and this is something we need to do too. In Luke 9, 1-2, it tells us, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." And in Revelation 12, 11-12, it tells us, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time." We see here that the devil has a short time and how powerful sharing our testimony can be. It can bring healing to another person, uplift their soul, and even be the thing that changes their lives forever. So let's not hold back in sharing what God has placed on our hearts. Whether it be a story, analogy, a painting, a song, or even a video, your testimony is important and it needs to be shared. Let's be sly as serpents and innocent as doves, sharing our story and the gospel in a fun and tangible way. Number 8, pray for them. It tells us in John 17, 9 and 20-22, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those who have given me, for they are yours. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one." It tells us in all of John 17 that not only did Jesus pray for himself, but he also prayed for his disciples and all believers. He also told the multitudes in Matthew 5:44 to pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And in Matthew 6:19-13, he showed them how to pray. It's clear that prayer is important for everyone, and it has power. I remember one night after a church meeting, I was hanging out with friends at a Buffalo Wild Wings. I asked our waitress how she was doing and if there was anything I could pray for her. She told me she was having a rough time and that she recently found out she could possibly have breast cancer. She came over to me and I prayed over her. In fact, this whole church was praying for her, believing that God would do the impossible in her life. About a month later, I got into the restaurant to check in on her and see how she was doing. She told me that she got the results back and that there was nothing there. She knew it probably had something to do with the prayers. That was the last time I ever saw her, and most likely the last time I was at Buffalo Wild Wings before they shut it down. I may not know where she's at right now, but God gave me a sense in my spirit that she was going to be okay. And I trust that someday God will bring her all the way if he hasn't already. If you're not one who is a strong speaker or a prayer warrior, you have no need to fear. It tells us in Matthew 10:19-20, "But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." In Romans 8:26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And in James 5, 13 to 16, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Amen to that. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, as we heard this morning. And number 9, always be present. It says in Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in John 14:15-18, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Like Jesus when he roamed the earth, we may not keep in touch with every single person that we encounter, but it's important that we stay present to the ones that we do, like Jesus with his disciples. As Pastor Ryan says at the River Worship, there's power in an invitation. Invite them to your church. Have them come over to your house. Message them and see how they're doing. If this is all too much for you, get friends and family to help back you up. Hang out in a group setting. Plan group events. There's nothing saying you have to do this all on your own. In fact, we're all called to love one another and be as one in the body, working together as a team. When you take the initiative to reach out, it shows the other person that you care, like how Jesus cares for us. And as it says in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So I ask the question again. How can we share the gospel with others in an impactful way? We must use the public sea to catch the fishes of men. We need to, ta-da, we need to prepare yourself. Submit to God's leading. Be present, approachable, engaged, interested. Be the light. Listen and show love. Feel the convo. Go with the flow. Share your testimony, salvation story. Pray for them and always be present. And that's all I have for you guys today. That is the word. Thank you very much.